So, AK.
Hi.
Geek Radio. We had new music tonight, and we're all off a little schedule here with it being Monday night. How are you?
I'm doing well. Actually, I was thinking I'm so much more awake right now than I am when we do it on Thursday night.
I was thinking
it's amazing.
I was thinking the same thing. It's just like, I'm awake, I'm ready to roll. So, wow, maybe we should think about changing it.
Yeah, whatever, you know, it's all good with me. Actually, I always get advanced screen passes to movies offered to me for Thursday night. So I don't have a problem with that.
Well, we'll have to take a poll of our audience and our online director to see if, you know, that's something that they want us to switch. Yeah. So now, while we're just chatting about the day and the time, will there be a show this Thursday, even though I will be at Fran Camp at a tweet up?
Yes, the show will go on. I'm going to have Lori with me, and we are going to talk about, go through the presentation that I did at Computer Explorers Conference a couple weeks ago on what you do after you have your social sites sort of set up. So you've kind of started with Facebook or you've started with Twitter, and where do you go from there in terms of generating a following and getting people interested. So we will talk all about that.
Cool. Now, talking about computer, before we start talking about video and we get into the real show, talking about Computer Explorers, and you being at Fells Point and doing the conference, you had a little, I don't want to call it an incident, but I loved your blog post that you did and about what they didn't do in the community.
Yeah.
You have reached the maximum time allowed to make your recording. To review or re-record your message, press 1.
So we were
to mark your message urgent, press 2.
I don't know how to hang
mark
up
your
on
message
this lady.
Private, press 3. To send your message as is, press the pound key.
I have no number. I have no pound to press. I wonder what
to
will happen.
To review or re-record your message, press 1. To mark your message urgent,
up?
Press 2. To mark your message private, press 3.
You know,
3.
AK, there's
to
just
send
something
your message
about
as is, press the pound key.
So I'll see if I can talk over her, and she'll eventually stop.
To review or re-record your message, press 1.
We were
to mark your message urgent, press 2.
And we
to mark
call.
Your message private, press 3. To
her
send
answering
your message
line.
As is, press the pound key. Your message has been sent.
Oh, finally.
To send a message to another subscriber, enter the area code and phone number of that subscriber, or press the star key to
I'm
enter your own mailbox.
I'm looking at the telling me the call is completed, so I think she really is going to stop. And I'm going to call our guest.
Nothing has been selected. To send a message to another subscriber, enter the area code and phone number of that subscriber, or press the star key to enter your own mailbox.
I keep hitting cancel. And I
nothing
don't
has been selected. To send a message to another subscriber, enter the area code and phone number of that subscriber, or press the star key to enter your own mailbox.
This, you know, I think we're just going to go on record for having the wackiest.
Nothing has been selected. To send a message to another subscriber, enter the area code and phone number of that subscriber, or press the star key to enter your own mailbox.
You should stop talking. I think.
Nothing has been selected. Thank you for calling. Goodbye.
I know.
Oh, bye.
Okay. So now Liz is listening on the air. We'll try to call her again, and hopefully we won't get that mess. Oh,
well,
my goodness.
She got to listen to the first little bit of the show on her answering machine. So.
I guess. Now I need to try to find the phone number. So, because we do not want her again.
No.
Oh, my. All right.
So about my blog post. I'm in Baltimore, but I'm in the county, and I don't get down to the city very much. And so I was going down, and we were in Fells Point. And I know they have a very good community down there. There's tons of bars and restaurants, and just it's a tourist attraction. So I decided that I would see if any of the local businesses on Twitter were monitoring tweets for mentions of specifically Fells Point. Because I think if I lived in, you know, like a tourist type area, and you have people coming in from out of town, you would want to be able to sort of jump into the conversation and be helpful or recommend places and that sort of thing. So I sent out a series of tweets through like the day and a half that I was down there that I was going to be in the area. Were there any recommendations? Where should I go for lunch? That sort of thing. So probably like 6 or 7 tweets. I sent a couple of my Foursquare check-ins to Twitter. And I got 2 people who, to my knowledge, were not affiliated with any of the businesses. They just happened to be my Twitter followers who gave me 2 lunch recommendations. Other than that, I heard nothing. Not one single thing. And I would like to say that I was shocked, but sort of my whole premise for the whole Get Social Baltimore thing is I've sort of identified Baltimore as a little lacking in the social department. So my blog post was sort of about how you can, you know, how that neighborhood in particular, but really it applies to any geographic location, can set up alerts, and I listed 5 tools that you can use to get alerted about mentions of your business name or the location where you are or keyword combinations. Like if somebody said Fells Point and lunch and you're a restaurant, that might be something you wanted to notice. And so just a little bit of helpful tips there.
Well, and I saw a lot of people retweeted that, and it really is helpful that if you're in a particular community, you know, they have to get social. You did a lot of tweeting. I saw it. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
And nobody was replying. So they'll catch up. You know, they'll catch up. And
we just got to educate.
And with Jenny Dietrich always says, you know, you have to create a little bit of a crisis in order to get noticed. And that's not a crisis, but you were brave to post that kind of blog post because that is your community. But you certainly will get noticed.
Yeah, I haven't had any stones thrown yet, so I've been tweeting this one out and posting in it a little bit more frequently than I usually do with a blog post, just because, you know, I'm hoping that it gets noticed. I've been using the Baltimore hashtag to see if any sort of the local outlets might post.
I think someone will see it. You'll get your newscast going again. Well, I'm going to dial, and I don't know if you're going to be able to hear the dialing, but can you hear the dialing? Okay, we're going to call Liz because it seems like our queue doesn't want to work, so we're going to work around it.
Hi, Deb.
Well, and we have her on the line. So we have Liz Anderson. Liz, meet AK. AK, meet Liz.
Hi, Liz.
Hi, AK. Nice to meet you.
And our audience.
Hello, everyone.
Our technical difficulties, we sooner or later will figure it out. You will find on your office line a very lengthy voice message because I actually called the office line. And then our Blog Talk listeners got to listen to your operator try to, as polite as she could, tell me to hang up or press 2 or press 8 or press 10 or do something over and over.
I heard that whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
But I didn't realize you were calling my office. Okay, fun.
I was just trying to dial anywhere, anybody. You know, I'm surprised I didn't call Justin Brackett, you know, in North Carolina. AK, that would have been fun. We could have got Justin on the line.
We could have done a Google Hangout with him somehow.
We could have done a Google Hangout. So, welcome, Liz. Sorry about all the technical difficulties last week and then a little bit tonight, but we're thrilled to have you. Liz is out of Waco, Texas. She and her husband, Beige, have E.H. Anderson Public Relations. And, Liz, I think I met Beige first years ago at IFA, and then we just seemed to connect at every International Franchise Association conference. But this year we really started to spend more time together. And I love what you guys are doing with public relations and specifically with video. So would you mind starting off by telling everybody about the video campaign that you did for the international conference?
Yes, I would love to. Well, first, I think you and I met at an IFA event.
Mm-hmm.
And when I think about Deb Evans, you know, social media comes to mind. So when we thought about what we were going to do at this year's convention for our exhibit, in years past, it's always been, you know, talk about what we do. You know, we do media relations, we do video production. And this year, we just thought, let's let our actions speak louder than words. And let me just back up a little more in that when we founded our business 10 years ago, you know, it was strictly based on media relations, getting traditional editorial coverage. Beige has a news background. He was working in local television at CNN as a news photographer, videographer, you know, taking all the video. So when we founded the company after he left CNN and we had children and, you know, decided to try to have a real life and not chase news all the time, you know, it was so focused on the editorial coverage. But with the explosion of social networking and video content, you know, needed for these social networks, it was just a true blessing for us, the explosion of social media. And I would say, you know, I would probably in the last 5 to 7 years, you know, we have probably his first video that he did for a franchise client, really any client, was a little franchise in Los Angeles. And he put this couple of videos that he shot in about a half a day shoot in L.A. On YouTube, and they just started going crazy. So, you know, we've done a little video here and there for PR, but, you know, just, like I say, very, very pleased that this whole explosion has happened because it's taking his skills and my PR skills and making us really have a good time at work every day. So back to the IFA, when we were meeting, you know, trying to decide what we're going to do, do we take the old clip book and show everybody all the stories that we've had or, you know, what should we do? We just decided to try to make some news at IFA and to get some people into the booth with Beige and all of his equipment, you know, the camera, the tripod, to edit some videos to get out there during the convention. But we really didn't want it to be promotional videos. We wanted to, you know, get a lineup of people like yourself, Deb, you know, who had some interesting things to talk about, and then Beige would turn those videos, you know, within 24 hours and have them up on Franchise Times website and YouTube. But we wanted to take a traditional approach in getting people interested in, you know, in coming by the booth, and that's where we snail mail this package to you and others, and decided to get Nancy Weingartner involved to do the actual interviews in our booth. So during the convention, we basically shot a series of about 9 different videos, and then they that night, you know, spent all night up in editing. And had them on YouTube and on Franchise Times and on our website. We, you know, we had the keywords. We had, you know, all the right things in place. And I think, you know, really generated a little buzz there at the show because we had that editorial component to it. So it was great for me because I really didn't have to do any work. I mean, you know, they did all the shooting and editing, and Nancy Weingartner did all the interviewing. And, you know, I just said, let me have a chair, you know, every half hour, if I could just sit and get off my feet, I'll be happy. So I think it worked out really well.
I thought it went spectacular. So, AK, here's – and Liz, you're probably going to hear me say something that I haven't said out loud before. So I get this box in the mail. I'm sitting at my desk, and I get this nice, neat little 4x4 brown box wrapped in a ribbon that UPS or the mail delivered. Like, oh, look at this pretty little box. I got a gift. I have a present. Mm-hmm. And I knew it had something to do with IFA. So I opened it up, and there's a postcard in there. And when Liz said she did traditional mailing, you know, it was traditional because before IFA, you get bombarded with postcards. Come to my booth. Come to my booth. I'll give you a prize. You know, it's like, oh, you know, toss this one. Oh, okay, I'll keep this one. Well, Liz and Beige sent it in this pretty box. So the pretty, shiny, I like shiny things. And the box came. It's like, oh, I like this. But when I opened it, I'm like, oh, my God, they sent me a postcard. Who wasted that much money on a pretty little box with a pretty little ribbon and put a postcard in it? So I open the postcard, and then I see that they're inviting me, yes, to come to their booth, but to do a free video of whatever I wanted to talk about, and then the whole explanation about that it would be on Franchise Times and it would be on YouTube. I mean, it caught my attention like you wouldn't believe. I did the very next thing I did was pick up the phone and call them. It's like, sign me up. Sign me up. How do I do this?
Actually, I think you were tweeting me and giving me, you know, comments and posts on Facebook.
Yes.
But we did finally connect by phone. And, yeah, you know, we just wanted to create for people. We knew people who did social networking would be at the show, and they would need some content to put back out there to their followers and fans, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like you say, Deb, as much as we were doing it for ourselves and trying to promote ourselves, you know, we were really wanting to do a service for, you know, the few who we did the videos for. So you could get out there and say, mm-hmm. this is what I'm doing at IFA. And you've been so wonderful to, you know, keep posting, you know, your video. And we appreciate that so much.
Well, it's me. Yeah, I'm so shy. It's me, but it really was a great idea, marketing campaign, because I think in marketing campaigns it has to have an element of what's in it for me, what's in it for the other person, and what's in it for the audience. So everyone that you filmed had a message, and they weren't all sales pitches about this is what my company's doing. You had Liberty Harper talking about Franchising Gives Back, and Marian O'Connell. Everybody didn't promote themselves. They promoted something external about themselves, which I think is what I think made a really good video campaign. And you guys did an awesome job with it.
Well, Vage gets all the credit. I mean, really, he does. He says, you know, we're going to break some news. We're going to get people who have news and who are doing things that are newsworthy. It's not going to be commercial after commercial. And, you know, for him to stay up, you know, all night and edit, and I don't know if it was you or someone else, was actually surprised that he not only edited the videos, but, you know, he had some cover shots. I mean, he really pre-planned.
Mm-hmm.
He had, for each of the videos, we had a consistent open and a consistent close. So each started the same with the same music. And we went to the subject matter with a video lasted for, you know, maybe 2 minutes, and then it closed the same with the hashtags and the, you know, where to follow us and things like that. So, you know, there was a lot of planning and pre-production, if you will, work that he did, and I completely give him all the credit. When he said, well, let's call Nancy Weingartner and get her involved, I'm like, right. Nancy is going to come to our booth and spend the day interviewing people. And he called her, and he said, do you want to sit in on this call with Nancy? I said, no, I don't think she's going to do this. She's not going to do this. And he came out of that phone call and was like, okay, you're not going to believe this. She wants to do it. And, you know, we had Steve Caldera and Marianne O'Connell, I think, had some really interesting factoids about women in franchising.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she had talked about the gal who works for Facebook. I guess they have the one female executive.
Cheryl.
So, you know, she, well, yeah, exactly. She was hooking, you know, her information into some news of the day. I think this lady had maybe purchased a house, or there was something going on in the news right then about her. So she was able to hook the women in franchising into this lady at Facebook. And, of course, Liberty had just, they had done that community service project at that retirement type, that home.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then Deb had, you know, left or was about to announce her, her new venture. And, you know, I would love to do it again. And, you know, I want to do the interviewing next time. I mean, you know, I was sitting there because I'm a former reporter and I'm thinking, gosh, I wish I could do a few of these, but I'm so delighted that Nancy came into our booth and did that. And maybe next year she and I can split them up.
Well, and Nancy's, she's print. I mean, that's the first time I've ever seen Nancy on video. So that had to have been something new for her, unless I'm mistaken.
No, it was, and I think that's why Franchise Times mm-hmm. was interested, because they wanted to get into some social networking, and they wanted, I could be mistaken, but there may be a redo on their site that may be coming that has a more of a video component than they currently have. So, I think they wanted to do this project just to have an opportunity to have some video on their site and have more of a social networking, message out there.
So, AK, just think about what we can do, and we can just take Baltimore by storm.
Yeah. Yeah.
We could. I mean, if they're not, and you probably heard some of this, Liz, as we had you out in cyberspace trying to connect, but if Baltimore is not social yet, we need to think of, like, this might not exactly my backyard, but how can we get them engaged and social? If your tweets weren't doing it, your Foursquare post weren't quite catching their attention, I think you might have to start walking around the video camera.
Well, as long as I'm on the side of the camera where
right.
I'm not, yeah.
Yeah, you can be on the other side, and you then could promote the businesses and get them out there and do some video marketing campaigns for them, and then pick up their Facebook and Foursquare and LinkedIn and Twitter accounts and Pinterest. I mean, half those businesses in Baltimore should have a Pinterest account.
A lot of them actually are getting into Pinterest, which I can appreciate, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's another example of doing a lot but not necessarily having a strategy. Because they it's good that they have Pinterest and that they're posting to Pinterest, especially if their target market lends itself to that. But then, they're doing things like dropping the ball with monitoring Twitter. So, we'll see what happens.
One of the things I did recently, I attended a conference and I have the new iPad, and I thought, well, I'm going to record some of the sessions, and then get them up on YouTube. And one of the challenges is the microphone and the audio is poor unless you're standing right next to the person. So I don't know what you plan on using in terms of equipment, but gosh, I wish you could have a wireless mic that would feed into the iPad. Because otherwise, you have to get right up next to the subject, or the audio is terrible.
Well, on my Pinterest board, in my social media, or is it my tech? I think it's my tech gadgets. There's this little boom audio recorder that looks like a big microphone that actually goes into the iPhone. Because the iPhone does some awesome videos, and so does the iPad. So I put a hint out to my family saying, I want that microphone. Hint, hint, it's all over Facebook and Pinterest. And I think I emailed it to my husband as well and said, I want that device, because if that microphone will pick up the audio for the iPhone or the iPad, then it would be really handy and easy to take some good video.
Is
but
it a
right.
handheld microphone that's actually plugged into the device?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's not a handheld. It's actually designed to plug into the phone or the iPad, and then it just looks like the microphone that Beige probably has on his video camera that attaches to the top, and you can flip it around, and it's got the fuzzy, whatever the fuzzy thing is on the microphone. It's really cool.
So it's like a directional, Paige?
Mm-hmm.
Is that called a directional mic?
I think so. But I don't know how good it is, but it was less than $60. So, and I love taking video with my iPhone. But now, I also want to check. I saw CC Chapman post some video on Twitter yesterday, and he said he used the iMovie app on his iPhone, and he edited the video with the app on his phone.
I'm sorry, ladies, but I just can't see my iPhone anymore. Now that I have the iPad, I can't. First of all, I have to wear one contact and one eye so I can see far away, and then my other eye I'm supposed to see close up. And I hardly use my iPhone at all anymore because I can't see close up. And it's so small.
Well, I use mine all the time. You have to get mono contacts.
I have to go back to my ophthalmologist, or, you know, I've got to figure out my eye situation, right?
So let's talk a little bit about Ustream. Ustream is video, and
yes.
We used it last year at Fran Camp in Nashville. AK, did I actually? Yeah, AK, I got you on Ustream. I did. So I have you on the Ustream channel. But so Beige is going to use it again at Fran Camp on Friday. And
yes.
So do you want to explain Ustream and how that works? Because you guys have been using it for your church service every week, haven't you?
Yes, we have for about 6 months. In fact, Beige tells me he just sent you over a link. He's Ustreaming this live right now.
I see the link in the chat, but if I open it up, then we'll hear
some feedback. Echo.
Yeah, we'd hear echo.
So, yeah, you know, when I was in college, 25 years ago, I actually ran camera for the church service. You know, they had the big cameras, you know, and that was one of my favorite jobs. And it's just amazing now that, you know, he sets up his laptop. We set up a little camera, one that I bought him for Father's Day to, you know, take shots of the kids, a little video camera on, you know, a tripod that I think we have, like, duct tape to keep the legs up. And he did invest in Ustream Producer, so he can take, for instance, the slides that, let's say, our minister will use on the big screen behind him when he talks, you know, with different Bible verses and, you know, just different graphics to accompany his sermon. And so Beige will get that presentation before the service starts, and he can download that into his Ustream Producer. So when he's actually broadcasting live and recording, it's like he's switching a live broadcast from a television booth because he has this the producer. Is that what it's called, Beige? The Ustream Producer. It's, you know, I think as long as you have, for us, he's found the hardline internet connection. You know, we've been to several events where there's a lot of people using Wi-Fi and there's a lot of devices around there. And, I mean, you have to have a really good connection to the internet. Otherwise, it's going to be in and out. But, you know, it's just worked really, really well in all the situations that we've been able to use it. And even when I watch, like, an Apple announcement, you know, they don't do their announcements. You know, they invite, you know, a private audience, and some people will, bloggers will try to Ustream it or Ustream their broadcast of it. And I always go to Ustream and watch, you know, any Apple announcement so I can watch the bloggers actually talk about it.
So then on Friday, Beige will be filming from Fran Camp in Atlanta, and it's ustream.tv/channel/Fran Camp. All right, I think that's how the URL is. But anyway, so anybody that can't be in Atlanta, and I've had two people ask me earlier today, were we going to stream this? As long as technology is our friend, we will stream this live. But it's also archived on the Ustream channel. So we're going to keep the Fran Camp channel, keep the presentations from last year so we can archive AK. She's still there, as well as Jack Munson and BJ Emerson and Paul Segretto. And Jen McDonald's presentation was filmed. They're all still there, and we'll add to the Atlanta ones this time. What I like about being able to use the Ustream is that the audience can be in Arizona. AK, you remember our guest from, well, Dana Lopez was watching some of it from Arizona. But we had other folks watching the Ustream and putting in the chat questions to the speakers. Or people were, now some of your followers, AK, I think you had one from India and one from Chile or China, that were sending tweets that we could ask to the speakers to make it interactive. the one thing that I have to remember to do is that, you know, we'll see that chat or we'll see that tweet, but we'll have to use the microphone in order to, repeat the question and then have the presenter's answer. I love that kind of interaction. I love the virtual attendance and the participation.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. I think Abby.
Abby Fink. That's who I was trying to remember.
Yes.
I knew Dana was watching, and I didn't mean that guy Dana, but it was Abby Fink. I was trying to remember her name. I was sitting here watching the chat going on in the chat.
I know, so I started laughing.
But Abby, Abby tweeted last week. She said she wanted to know the times again because she wanted to sit and watch.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she was tweeting just as if she was sitting right there in the room.
I know.
It was awesome.
Yeah, I don't. And now
it's amazing. I'm surprised more people don't use Ustream. It's just, it's amazing.
I've had people say, well, why would you do that? Don't you want them to be there? And I don't think it's going to stop folks that really want to be there and register and come to Atlanta to sit in the audience, because you get the networking and get the tweet up and all that other stuff. But there are some that just can't possibly. Like AK, she has a wedding she has to be in that she can't be in Atlanta on Friday, but you can taunt us. Mm-hmm. You can taunt us, and I know you will with your tweets.
Right. Oh, yeah. Especially, is the tweet chat going to be streaming on the wall again?
I wasn't going to, but yes, I'm going to make sure that there's two projectors and two laptops. So, yep, we'll be doing that.
Okay. Because I'm more likely to tweet if I know lots of people can see it.
This is true. So Liz, last year we had the Twitter stream floating in the wall, on the wall. The poor presenters, you know, that's the one thing too. You're standing up there and you're presenting, and AK's throwing out a very funny tweet, and the audience sees the tweet and not paying attention to the presenter, and you have to stop and think, okay, what did AK tweet? Let me look and let me see. And that's fun to watch as well, to watch the tweets and see what's going on. So, I'm trying to think what other kind of technology will we have going on that's probably about all we can handle. Live tweeting, blog. Now, you blogged live last year, AK. We're going to have to.
Yeah.
Nicole will be there from 919 Marketing, and she took the tweet chat that I did earlier this week with Matt Holler and put it in Storify. And I know you shared that link with us on Geek It Out last year.
Oh, yeah.
I never used it. So she took those tweets and put it in Storify, and I went ahead and logged on to Storify this week and got an account. I've got like 30 followers. I haven't done anything with it.
You're really popular.
Well, these people are following me, and they're not. What are they following?
Because they just know you have the potential to have really great content, so they want to just be there in case it happens.
Oh, well, okay. Well, we'll do the same thing with Randcamp. If Nicole Dessen or Jen McDonald, then I will. We'll take the tweets and put it into the storyboard. So we'll have Ustream, SlideShare presentations, Google Hangout. We could do a live Google Hangout at the same time?
You could. Yeah.
Hmm. So then, because Liz isn't going to be there either. So, Liz, are you going to be watching the Ustream Friday?
Oh, yes. I wouldn't miss it. I got to make sure Beige is doing his job.
I think he'll be doing his job. He's going to be a little busy. So now with the...
He is going to be busy, but it's going to be great because not only, like you say, just the live stream of it, but it's going to be archived, and I mean you can get that out there. I mean, that's great content to get out there to everybody, you know, for many months to come.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we'll put it on the YouTube channels as well too, and Ustream does go to Pinterest. I connected it to Pinterest, didn't I?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
What are those channels we have that we're connected to?
I feel like Frank has been single-handedly crashed the internet on Friday.
It might, and that's okay.
They're saying it's not the same time as small business chat. Then you would take down the internet.
I could, try to do something about that. And we try to use Blog Talk Radio since we can't seem to crash that every week.
Yeah.
So, Liz, what other advantages, and I think we probably may have covered everything, but other advantages of using video in PR?
Oh, gosh. To, you know, pitch reporters, whether it's a story or a source, you know, we've done videos of clients or, you know, the spokespersons and just a, you know, 30-second, minute-long snippet from them about their product or their news. I know we've done, oh, man, so much. We've done a full day of shooting and they interviewed like a CEO of a franchise company and probably got, I don't know, 7 or 9 different 2-minute videos out of it just about the different aspects of the franchise system. You know, just thinking before this call, I was going through some of the client projects that we've worked on. And, I mean, everything has been, you know, like a full day. If you will invest in like a full day shoot, you can get so much content out of it. You know, you can get at least a dozen videos for the full day shoot. And, you know, two minutes each, let's say. And whether it's, you know, to send to reporters, whether it's to put on social networks or all the above, it's just a good investment. And plus, also, we've taken materials, just PDFs of like hard copy brochures or an annual report and turned it into a fast-moving video about, you know, a minute long, sent it to reporters to get them interested in news from a university that we represent. And surprisingly, these reporters started contacting us to, of course, send them the report, and they put the link to our video, one of the reporters did, in our story, in her story, and then we started getting calls from educators wanting this report, and it was only meant for the reporters themselves, but this one reporter did not understand that. So that was kind of a full day of taking calls and trying to field these requests from these educators who read this particular story. So from pitching, from showing a reporter that a source or a client is well-spoken, that they're going to, you know, say good things and not embarrass them if it's a television broadcast, video can play a nice role in public relations, and then you get double bang for your buck just because you can put it out there on social networks and on your website, and then you can start titling them with keywords, getting your SEO boosted, and before you know it, you're landing on page 1 of Google with a video.
So what's the best way to pitch to the reporter with a video? Just send the reporter a link to the video and say,
uh-huh,
I have a story for you?
Yeah, just say, you know, I have a spokesperson, you know, I'm thinking of a client who our spokesperson is very eloquent, you know, well, I'd say 30 seconds of him talking about something and just provide it as a link into the pitch. You know, a pitch should be maybe a couple of paragraphs max and just say, you know, if you want to see what so-and-so looks like on camera and how he can speak, here's a sample. And it's just another way to grab their attention with a new form of media besides just text and email. I've also written proposals for prospective PR clients using video. I put a QR code in one proposal, and it was funny because he didn't realize that Beige had produced a video specifically for this proposal. And when we had a talk after I had delivered the proposal a week or two later, I said, well, what'd you think about the video? And he's like, what? And I said, well, the QR code, did you not scan it? And he said, oh, I really don't know how to do that. And finally I had to show him how, and I blew him away. He's like, I can't believe you guys, you know, produce this just for this proposal. So from proposals to getting interviews to you know, pitching a particular story with existing materials, it can be used those 3 ways for sure. We do that quite a bit.
Hmm. I see Beige had posted in the chat how the Ustream channel actually started, and I didn't know this. He said that it started as a service for deployed troops to talk to their families. I didn't know that.
I noticed something. Yeah, you know, there was something in the news yesterday about the military. The Ustream and the military was doing something even just yesterday, because he told me that a couple of days, I guess Thursday, when we were planning this show. And I didn't know that either. It's amazing.
That's kind of fun. I haven't think. Well, what's older, Ustream or Skype? I know they're kind of different, but I thought Skype was sort of something that the troops would be using too.
I knew Skype was started that way, and actually I've been Skyping with my son when he was deployed over a year ago.
Well, we've been using Skype video calls for a couple of years, but I don't know, for some reason I would think Ustream's older.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just a guess.
I need to find a Geek It Out site where I can put in two websites and it'll tell me which one's older.
Is it? I'm sure there is one, but don't start looking now, AK.
Oh, okay.
See, I knew you were looking. Just like Google Fight, there probably is one. We still need to find a good recording website that's like Ustream, that you can have split screen, and I know they're out there, I just don't know, that are inexpensive, so that, like, if we wanted to record ourselves tonight, Liz in Waco and AK in Baltimore and me sitting here in my social geek office, that we could film all three of us at the same time and stream it.
Well, you know, we could just do a Google Hangout, and then somebody could be with their iPhone desk videoing the Google Hangout, and then you could stream that.
You could.
Right?
But I think Camtasia would actually film or record the Google Hangout. But it would record it, but it wouldn't produce it live. So.
Yeah, so you could use my brilliant hack that I just came up with.
Yes, we could hack it. We could do that.
Yeah.
But then we would ask Dana to do it, but he doesn't like the he calls them iCrap devices.
He has BlackBerry Whiplash or BlackBerry Neck or something. Did you see that post I found online?
Yeah. We're going to get off topic here. We do this, Liz. We get off topic a little bit. And, of course, I keep looking at the chat messages and trying to figure out what's going on there, too. Is there a way, Liz, you or Beige, you know, there's analytics, correct, for Ustream? So you can look to see how many hits and how many views, just like you can YouTube?
Yes. I know for me, we can look to see how many are watching live, and then you can, once it's, you know, recorded, you can monitor how many views it has, you know, throughout history. But it's fun, especially during our church service, to see how many people are actually watching it live, and our audiences have been fairly small, but they haven't heavily promoted it either. But as far as I know, it's just number of views.
Right, right, and it does have some analytics, because I've gone back and looked at the Fran Camp one to see how many views it's had. I mean, we did that last October, and I think it has 145 views. It didn't have that many live and didn't have that many few months ago. So folks are going back and pulling it up. Because now I could go back and I could take those videos down, as you could YouTube as well, because I did have someone ask me if some proprietary information was shared at Fran Camp, would we post it? It's like, well, it's live, so whoever is listening live will hear it, but we don't necessarily have to keep it on the site. We could always remove it if we wanted to, as we do Blog Talk Radio. Last week with our little technical difficulty there, it took a little while, but I got the dead air off of the site. So it's not necessarily that, you know, what's posted is always there. There's ways you can remove it if you need to.
Right.
It's not easy.
I think, kind of on another subject for video, I think we do a lot of videos at our agency. I mean, from videos we do for clients and for videos that we do for ourselves. And I was thinking about this. One of the challenges is when Beige delivers a video to me, sometimes it comes as a link, and then sometimes he will store it on an external hard drive as like a .mov.
Mm-hmm.
And it's knowing, how am I going to use this video? Do I want to put it in an email, and do I need it as a link, or do I want to upload it, let's say, to Facebook as a video, as you would create a Facebook album, like a photo album? Of course, if you're going to post it as a video to go on your Facebook page, it needs to be a .mov. But if you want to share it in the newsfeed, it needs to be a link. Probably when you post that .mov, it will say that Liz has posted a new movie. But one of our challenges is just being able to put all of the videos that we do into those two formats so I can quickly access them, because I'll say, oh, I want to email that video that you did, you know, of Winetastic, 5 years ago. Where is that link? And he's like, oh, I have it saved in the .mov, so then he has to go into FileZilla and make me a link. And that's probably one of the things that we are really trying to make more efficient within our own agency. And getting me an external hard drive has been one of those solutions. Also, when, for instance, on Vimeo, we will you can post not only the video, but then you can have photos to go along with it, right? So we'll be getting now to package up each of the videos that we do. Let's package it up with, you know, the keywords and photos to accompany it. So each video is like packaged up with a nice bow on it, because it has our keywords, our people, our where we were, in our photos to accompany it.
Mm.
It's a real organization. It takes an organization, as many videos as we do.
Yeah. Be able to figure out where to host them, tag them, post them, Vimeo or YouTube or whatever. Okay, well, I see that we're getting cued that it's time for Geek It Out. So, Liz, you can hang if you want, or, I think if you hang up, it's fine, and we're not going to get any kind of funky recording. But we're going to move to Geek It Out. Liz, thanks so much. Why don't you give everybody your website address or Facebook page or LinkedIn, whatever it is you want to share, so that they can go and check out some of the videos and the news that you've posted?
I would just give my website, ehandersonpr.com, www.ehandersonpr.com.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Deb, for having us. I mean,
yeah,
this has been a lot of fun.
Well, I won't see you next week, but I'll see Beige, and we'll, AK and Liz, you guys will see us, because you're going to be watching virtually.
Yeah, we'll
that's right.
Sitting and meeting virtually.
And your jammies.
The conference. Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks, right, ladies. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Let's see if the music will start. Oh, the music doesn't want to start tonight. Mm-hmm. As soon as you... There it goes. And see, BJ logged out. We logged back in. So he came in just in time so that he can hear the Geek It Out. So.
Well, because last time he left before Geek It Out. And
he
I
did. He logged out. Dana was upset too, yeah, but it looks like he's logged back in. So do you feel pressure, AK? Do you feel pressure knowing that BJ and Dana are watching and waiting for your geeky sites? No pressure?
Nope. No.
No. Good for
no,
you.
I feel superior.
BJ's in. He sees it.
Wait, where's the big head / aloof hashtag that should be hanging above my head? I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
I think that was pretty good. Okay, let's see. Okay, I'm
all right.
Ready.
The first one I will share is one I'm super excited about. It's called onlinebeta.com. And I will put that in the chat. And it's basically where you can go and sign up and answer It took about, I guess, 15 minutes to sign up for it, this questionnaire, to be eligible to receive early access to test certain data products, hardware, software, applications, et cetera. So you have to tell them all the information about your phones and your computers and your operating systems and all of this kind of stuff. It was sort of like Match.com for you and software. But
do you know how many of these type of sites you get me to log into, and then weeks go by, and I get an email, and weigh out or weigh in or check it out, or I don't know. I get these emails saying, yeah, you're in. I'm going, I'm in what? What did I sign up for? What did Day K tell me to do?
Yeah. Well, that's kind of like I sign up for like every beta thing I come across, especially all like the social networking type sites. And it will be a couple of weeks before I'm granted access, and I get the emails like, you have been selected for this. And I'm like, oh, I'm so special. And then it's like, because you asked to be. And I'm like, oh.
So you get disappointed. Oh, I see.
You're
but
like,
look,
oh, I requested that. They're not just hand-picking me.
But look, you got Pinterest and Google Plus, so.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'll do this one. I'm not really into these devices, these TomToms and Logitech. I don't know, maybe. Oh, I do like Logitech, though. I love my Logitech keyboard.
Yeah, and there's phone apps is one of them. There's, when I originally signed up, there was one immediately for an Android app that it offered to me because I told it I had an Android device. So it says it sends you emails with offers, and you have to actually apply for the offers. So it's not just, like, gimmicky type things. It's, like,
Well, I see Dana's quite happy. It's beta.
I had a feeling he would be.
Yeah. Okay. So we've got that one.
Okay. So we have that, and let's do, here's a new one. It's my new Pinterest. It's thefancy.com, which I totally blame Likeable Media for introducing me to.
Oh, I remember. Yes, I got that note, and I...
Yeah, it's similar to Pinterest in that it's very image-oriented. However, the images are much larger, and they're sort of in a column-type format instead of a grid. And you can browse by category, but it has extra components where you can... sometimes it's a prototype of something, and you can actually say that you would be interested in selling it. Or there's some options where you can say you want to buy, and there's a buy button, and it either takes you right through to a sales page that's sort of built into the site itself, or it might take you off-site to the company's own website. But then within the stream, when you're browsing, like the gadget, there's a gadget category, which I could spend tons of time just looking through all the gadgets, which is a lot different than if you look at like the technology category on Pinterest. But what I like about it is within the actual sort of browsing through the stream, it'll give you recommended users, and then it'll randomly pop up and say, users who like this bought this. So it like intermixes to just the people to connect with and that right in with showing you the images of the products and everything. So it's got more features than Pinterest has.
So let me ask you a technical question here, or operator, user, whatever. When you sign up for something like this, do you navigate usually towards the connect with your Facebook page or your Twitter account? Does it really matter?
I'll do Twitter first, and then I'll do Facebook, and no real rhyme or reason. It's just I found that more of the people that, I mean, I have way more followers and I'm following way more people on Twitter, so it's just numerically or statistically speaking, there's going to be more people on Twitter that I'm connected with that might also be on here, so it gives me a chance to establish another connection with them.
Okay, that makes sense. Good to know.
Yeah. Okay. So that's thefancy.com. And then, let's see. Oh, we can do the one you sent me, which actually I had installed on my phone the day before, is paperkarma.com. And it's a mobile app. They have it for Apple, Android, Windows Phone. And you basically install the app, and then you can scan or I guess take a picture of your junk mail. Yeah, your junk mail, and you can opt out of junk mail. Have you tried it?
No, and it's so funny. So I sent that to you, and then I forgot about it. And my husband brings the mail in the other day, and I swear to God, he throws it on the counter, and he goes, I wish there were an app to get rid of this. Like, there is, but I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah, I saw it. Somebody must have tweeted it or something, and I installed it on my phone, and I have it on my phone, and I have every intention of using it, and instead of scanning my junk mail, I've been throwing it in the recycle bin. So I need an app that reminds me to use my app.
I'm going to download it. I'm going to try it now that I remember. But he thought I was nuts. It's like, no, there's an app for that.
Yeah. Yes, I think that one's cool. Now, it's kind of like a nationwide database, so like your junk mail from your local realtor and things like that. You can't be removed from those lists. Because I've read about the site. They actually have people, like a team of people who are taking your information and like manually removing you from, you know, there's people behind the, doing all that work.
You're giving somebody a job.
Yeah, and I don't know how they make money off of it. I guess through the app applications, because the app was free, or the app advertisements.
Yeah, I
always wonder how, like, Lisa Johnson, when I was talking to her, she was like, how do these free applications that don't have advertising on them make money?
You know, when you mentioned Lisa, I can only imagine last weekend the three geeks were sitting.
Oh, it's so fun.
You, Brooke Howell from Smart Brief, and Lisa Johnson. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Yeah, we had our little geek corner of the Green Turtle in Bell's Point.
It's funny. We probably
apparently it's not monitoring Twitter, I will tell you that much.
Which you do, well, that's a whole other story. You do know who their PR person is.
Yes.
Okay.
So, but that's PR. That's not social media.
No, but it can be.
Okay. Let's see. I think we have time for one more, maybe.
We do.
I'll share Pinstamatic because I have noticed that you really like that one.
After my trying to figure out. Oh, my God.
Pinstamatic is a way to basically create an image of something that wouldn't otherwise have an image, that, so that you can put it on Pinterest. So you can do a website, you can just create a sticky note and say something. You can pin a song via Spotify. You can create a quote. The one that Deb and I have been using is the Twitter, where you put in somebody's Twitter handle, and it makes this really nice little graphic of their Twitter handle and their bio and their picture and their most recent tweet. So I know, Deb, I saw the one that you did for FranCamp. I thought that was really cool with pinning all of the Twitter accounts of the people who are going to be at FranCamp.
Mm-hmm. The speaker. Well, I started with the speakers and the moderators, and then I thought, I'll start pinning the attendees, and it was just getting way too much pinning. So I think after FranCamp, I will do that because I'm going to give the attendees the Pinterest URL. So that because it's so easy to organize everything in Pinterest. And so you don't have to say, well, go to YouTube or go to Ustream. Oh, she's telling us we have to hang up.
Oh.
Oh, I know. So, so I like Pinstamatic. Okay, now what do we have, Frank Campion? You want to have a booth for people to try out the new app, Ugly Meter. What is this?
I don't know. My dad.
It's in our chat.
My dad's had a cold. He's taking too many cold medicine, so ignore him.
Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us. Thank you for our for Liz. And it's time to go. But anybody that's on, so next week, AK, you're going to have to call your attendees because it looks like the queue is broke. We must have broke it.
Oh, okay, yeah. I can call Lori. I'll track her down.
You'll track her down. Okay, everybody have a good night and a good week, and I'll try to listen on Thursday. Thank you.
All right, thanks. Bye.
Bye.